Developing Your People, Common Sense Leadership in the Workplace, Volume 1, Key Skills Employees Will Need, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh. Introduction. There is no greater responsibility in the workplace than being a leader or manager in charge of developing employees, for you will shape their careers and help them realize their dreams. In this 3-volume audiobook series, we will explore common sense ways to guide employees as they grow. I base the information in this book on 36-plus years in business, managing, and leading employees, as well as leading numerous interdisciplinary project teams. I attained much knowledge and wisdom from fellow IEEE members who have served as my bosses, coworkers, and longtime friends. In passing this guidance along to you, I hope you derive as much pleasure and satisfaction as I have experienced. Here are the volumes in this trilogy. Volume 1, Key Skills Employees Will Need. Volume 2, Employee Development Strategies. Volume 3, Career Management, Teamwork, and Empowerment. Enjoy, Harry T. Roman. The Realities of the Information Age. Make no mistake about it. Your company is in the information business. Regardless of the products or services you choose to produce, information is your lifeblood. The most critical process in any company today is the innovation process. It is the ability to convert data and information into competitive knowledge that can be used to gain market advantage. Those companies that can innovate cheaply and efficiently will be around to celebrate their successes. And where does the ability to innovate come from? It comes from the people on your team, of course. Humans convert data and information into knowledge. Assisted by computers, databases, and industry knowledge, they apply their insight, skills, and special talents to your problems. Your employees strive to make sense of the rapidly changing world and do it all to benefit you and your company. Here is the equation of success in the information age. Competent people plus computerized tools plus access to information plus leadership plus empowerment equals success. Again, that's competent people plus computerized tools plus access to information plus leadership plus empowerment equals success. Your people are your most important and versatile resource. They can be upgraded, renewed, rejuvenated, and adapted to a wide variety of jobs. They are the most ideal resource that any company can possess. Equipped with the right support, tools, information, and leadership, they will make the difference in the global race for market share. Mistreat them, fail to use them effectively, demotivate them, refuse to lead them, and ignore the value of their skills, and you risk certain failure. Wealth in the information age is not simply a matter of having the land, capital, raw materials, resources, and labor paradigm of the past. The whole concept of wealth has changed. What you know in the modern corporation is as important as what you own, and what you do and how fast you do it makes all the difference in the market. These new ways of going about things are important departures from the past. They even deserve repeating. What you know is as important as what you own. What you do and how fast you do it makes all the difference. In a corporation, the collective you means all the employees. The companies with intelligent employees who are motivated to continuously learn, who know how to innovate rapidly, and who have management's trust and authority to act will emerge the winners. We will not win global market wars in the boardrooms of the major corporations. We will win them on the factory floors, in the design studios, in the engineering departments, in the R&D labs, on the production lines, and in the shoe leather of your marketing and selling staffs. You must help to elevate an average worker's skills above what, in the past, became the norm, if today's companies expect to remain competitive. Think about the important corollary here for the worker, too. If you don't have the horsepower in your head and heart, you won't have it in your wallet either. The United States is facing serious competition from abroad. tough competition is ahead from the usual countries, such as Germany and Japan, as well as the potentially giant and emerging economies of China and India. Continuous improvement and growth becomes the new paradigm for our workers, as well as those of us who lead them. Notice I said lead and not manage. Leading is also another very important paradigm change in the information age. Management won't be eliminated, but it will become, at the very least, co-equal with leadership and most likely subservient to it in importance. In times of rapid change, we need leaders in corporations. These important people envision the company mission, tie their workers to the future, connect them to the world picture, point the way, and instill the teamwork that is ultimately the glue and grease that makes the whole thing work. Without leadership in the information age, you might as well just close the front doors and hang a for rent sign outside. You must have good employees, access to great information, the tools to process it, and the leadership spark if you expect to succeed. Leadership is the flame of the information age. It gets the fire going. The whole discussion of empowerment becomes relevant here. It ties everything together into a nice tight taxonomy for success. Nothing succeeds like genuinely empowered employees. It all boils down to trust. This book is both a guide for how to develop your employees to make them ready to accept the challenges of the information age, and a stimulus for you, their leader, to want to delve deeper into this fundamental workplace paradigm shift. Don't lull yourself into thinking that developing your staff is an armchair exercise that you do after all the other important matters and departmental deadlines are completed. It's a full-time job. If you don't walk the talk on this issue, you will get some very unpleasant surprises. You wouldn't let your production line machines fall into disrepair, so don't let your employees, because in the information age, they are the production line machines. Pay as much attention to them as you do to the machines. The machines are limited in what they can do. People can do many things if you have the courage and conviction to lead and empower them. Listen on and learn how both you and your people can benefit from continuous development, communication, and leadership. Different kinds of skills. Ill-equipped workers cannot sustain or support the innovation process. Every year, the United States suffers billions of dollars in lost productivity due to poor worker skills and inadequate performance. This lack of training cannot be tolerated now or in the future. The 21st century workplace will be dynamic beyond anything we are accustomed to or may be currently preparing our students for in the classrooms. One thing is certain. Employees will be in a constant state of learning and acquiring new skills. Continuous learning is inevitable. And continuing education will become the watchwords of industry. The continuing education process will become as important as the learned or taught content. A more integrated and holistic education style will emerge, one that emphasizes and personifies the process of innovation, and it will come to typify the information age. To be competitive will mean to be able to rapidly move ideas and concepts into the marketplace. Merely teaching employees to come up with good ideas is not enough. These ideas must be marketable as a final test of their value. Thus, employees must know how to implement their ideas and how to make the transformation from concept to reality. And these changes will require employees to have a range of skills in their skills banks. Project management will become one of those critical skills. Three kinds of skills. Employees bring three basic categories of skills with them to a job: technical, functional, and personally developed. Technical skills are those obtained through experience, formal education, training, and professional growth. Functional skills typically include interpersonal, communication, planning, and organizational talents, among others. Employees acquire personally developed skills through pursuits outside of the company, such as hobbies, avocations, and community service. The way you manage and lead individuals can and will affect their technical and functional skills. personally developed skills are generally outside the scope of a supervisor's influence, although an astute supervisor can find ways to bring those skills into the workplace and harness them. Let's examine these three skill categories in greater detail. Technical skills. Technical skills are an employee's bread and butter skills. They are the skills which earn them a living. But skills are not immortal. They age and become obsolete. In fact, with the rate of change in the workplace, learned skills can become obsolete in just a matter of a few years. For instance, engineering skills learned in college can become obsolete in 5 years or less in some specialties. This deterioration can happen to production line workers as well as computer-based manufacturing systems that must be replaced with the latest high-powered versions. Just as relevant are the speedy changes we see in the computerized office systems that continually march through the corporate suites. Everyone from the office worker to the line worker, to the engineer, to the executive will be affected by changes in technology and information processing. To obtain the most out of all employees, continuous learning is becoming absolutely essential to maintain a competitive edge. Technical skills directly influence the day-to-day performance of your company and help get products and services out the door, so plan on making significant investments in the skills category. Some continuing education experts believe that the American industry should be investing at least 10% of an employee's time each year on continuing education activities. Actually, most companies spend far less, and employees' bread-and-butter skills are worth investing in. Develop a strategy for investing in critical skills, just like you would for any other corporate investment, and make sure your employees understand their responsibility in maintaining their skills. This partnership is where leadership comes into play. Functional skills. Functional skills can be every bit as important as employee technical skills. Knowing how to work with people, communicating well, and leading a team of workers on a complex assignment is very valuable to information age companies. These skills are not generally taught in schools and are often learned through years of experience or mentoring. It is vital you give your employees opportunities to grow through on-the-job exposure. You can reinforce such learning opportunities through periodic attendance at seminars and workshops, both inside and outside the company. Don't push soft skills and leadership courses aside in favor of technical skill courses. Give them equal treatment whenever possible. They are related by process. Unmotivated work teams poorly applying good technical skills creates a severe loss of efficiency, which will eventually translate back to a decline in competitiveness. You cannot afford to stifle functional skill growth in favor of technical skill growth. You must create a balance. Here are some examples of typical functional skills that employees should develop. Project management, public speaking, writing technical reports and papers, supervisory and management training, effective listening, leadership, coaching and counseling, interviewing, negotiation, mediation, and cost estimating. Functional skills are the savvy skills that managers need to get the work done. As one progresses higher in the corporation, functional skills increase in importance. This increase means when developing a strategy for continuing education, you must evaluate each employee, determining the proper mix of technical and functional skills training according to each individual's needs, aspirations, and promotion potential. Your continuing education investments in your employees is much like a diversified investment portfolio as you strive to balance the risks and returns. Personally developed skills. We all tend to develop skills outside of our work environments. As an astute and caring leader, you should learn about the outside world skills that your employees have that may be useful on the job. An unusual application of outside skills can be most advantageous to the workplace, not to mention the motivation that an employee would experience if you brought their outside skills into the workplace. This addition could unify the employee's personal goals with those of the corporation, resulting in true, sustained motivation. Talk to your employees about their outside interests and off-the-job skills. You might be quite surprised how people spend their personal time, and you might discover some useful new skills you could harness for their jobs. Employees could teach others about these new skills, and in doing so, become another great asset for the company, teachers and trainers. Critical skills employees will need. In this section, we are going to discuss 8 basic skills that will be fundamental to survival in the information age. We can refer to these skills as a profile of the knowledge worker. Here they are. 1. Logical and analytical. 2. Able to convert data and information into knowledge. 3. Can present ideas and concepts. 4. Good oral and written communication skills. Must be articulate. 5. Excellent planning skills. Able to manage complete projects. 6. Process-oriented and a team player. 7. Sees integrated approach to problem-solving, multidimensional thinker. And 8. Knows how to learn efficiently. Employees without these skills are operating at a severe disadvantage or may not be employed at all. Human intellect will play a fundamental role in our future workplace. Industry needs people who can think and envision. Creativity and the ability to rapidly innovate will be prized attributes in companies. Our grandfathers, and maybe even our fathers, competed with their hands, but we shall compete with our brains. The 8 basic skills listed previously are all higher-order thinking skills. The stakes of the competition card game, so to speak, have been raised from manual skills to thinking skills. It takes brain power to compete. As a leader and role model, you must direct your employees to gain and maintain proficiency in these 8 skills. It's the only way you can ensure ongoing competitiveness. People are precious resources with whom you are entrusted. Your example for what is required on the job must serve to motivate and inspire people to seek out skills in these critical areas. It is a time of process. The companies with the best and most efficient processes will emerge as winners. Now, let's examine each skill in some detail. 1. Logical and analytical. You will need people who can think and critically analyze problems. In a highly competitive work environment, there will be no time for hit-or-miss solutions to problems. Time becomes the critical resource. Thinking must precede action, as well as expenditures of time, materials, and money. In the coming information-rich society, those people with good analytical skills will be in key positions to manage the anticipated huge flow of corporate information and transform it into useful knowledge to meet various corporate problems and opportunities. To transform the raw data and information into competitive knowledge, employees will need to logically project where trends, markets, and technology are going to strategically target or focus corporate resources. Competition is a thinking game, not the mass production game of our past. Our factory machines have become intelligent, and we must be as well, to direct them in the most efficient manner possible. If you cannot think well, you cannot compete well. No horsepower in the head, no horsepower in the wallet. 2. Convert data and information into knowledge. The goal of all innovative companies is to quickly convert raw data and information into sellable products and services. If you do such tasks well and consistently, you will become a leader in the field, with success and profits to your credit. The key to this conversion process is the computer. Workers must be comfortable working with computers and automated systems and literate about how to transfer, analyze, and convert the massive amounts of data and information that will be constantly streaming across their desks. Computers are nothing more than knowledge amplifiers, a window or tool through which one can more readily discern and understand how information impacts and changes the company. It won't be necessary for all employees to be computer programmers, but they should be able to competently use computers in their daily work routines and recognize when computerization of their functions can make their jobs more efficient and meaningful. Furthermore, they should be motivated to get the necessary computerization for their jobs when they feel they need it. They must be aware of the importance of computerization in the workplace and not fear they will be replaced by it. Today, a personal computer contains more computer horsepower than most mainframe systems of 30 years ago. This horsepower is itself a critical investment the company has made, and it should be used to the fullest extent possible. The competition has computers on the desks of its employees, too. Make sure your people know how to use their competitive weapons. 3. Presenting ideas and concepts. Employees must carefully propose and sell their worth to management so as not to waste precious resources. Implementing a new product or service is the toughest part of any manager's job, but it begins with the effective selling of that idea on a sound and logical basis, as a solution to a pressing corporate need. It is much more than catchy slogans and the turning of a phrase. It is hard work, good design, economic analysis, and knowing what the company and the marketplace can and will bear. Great ideas poorly presented are worthless. They will not be implemented, and they are a tragic waste of resources that someone else could have used to better ends. This skill goes hand in hand with the logical and analytical skills previously discussed. They are different sides of the same coin. 4. Good communication skills. If there is one skill that I have seen firsthand drag down many a coworker, this is it. It is a biggie. Employees must be articulate. Senior management will judge you and your employees by how well your department expresses itself in the written and spoken word. It is a telltale mark of a person's maturity. Management needs condensed kernels of information to reflect on and make important decisions. You and your staff are in the position of supplying those kernels to the key company decision makers. Why not do a terrific job? Why be weighed down by poor communication skills? Such skills are the basics for all other skills. You cannot compete if you cannot understand. Good communications saves time and money. Here's something to remember. Approximately 75% of all new product failures are directly traceable back to poor communication among various departments of the companies unsuccessful in launching the new products. The bad news is that many companies wasted time and money because of bad communication. The good news is that the problem is solvable. Good communication has real value in a company. Make sure your people know its value and have the necessary skills to make the company as competitive as it could be. I have heard that some studies show that 25% of a message's original intent is lost or distorted as it passes from one level to the next lower level in a company. Imagine how distorted that message could be by the time it reaches lower-level workers. Everyone should take having good communication skills seriously. Such skills are imperative for both individual and company success. Each employee is literally an ambassador of their department and, yes, the company. It does not matter whether they are giving a speech, presenting a technical paper, writing an article, talking to members of the public, meeting with a customer, or talking to a member of the senior management team. People judge you by what comes out of your mouth when you open it, or what you write down on corporate memos and letters. Take the time to practice good communication. It pays off continually. This high-priority skill can do a lot of damage if allowed to decline or never developed. 5. Planning skills. Implementation is a critical element of success in the down-and-dirty competitive world. You want to be first in new markets. Our overseas competitors have often beaten us in this area. They have simply been faster on the uptake. Timely implementation begins with people who know how to marshal resources and plan, organize, execute, and commercialize new products and services. You don't make the sale until someone actually buys your product or service. You must get to market. The ability to manage projects completely from idea to commercialization is a very desirable skill for your people to possess. These project managers are the front line of competition, getting the product to market, and bringing back important information about the environment the company is facing. These portions are the bumps and bruises part of your business, where the battles are hard won and timing is everything. People with these skills can manage a wide variety of new products and services because their innovation process is well understood and proven through years of experience. They know how to make something happen. Good project managers are worth their weight in gold and should be used as living examples of what all employees should aspire to and what good planning skills are capable of doing for the company. 6. Team player. Teamwork and collaboration among corporate departments will become the mainstay of problem solving in industry. People with these skills will become indispensable in articulating corporate needs, establishing programs to address well-defined problems, and providing leadership to project and manage special missions teams. These communications-oriented individuals will form the nucleus for spurring creativity and innovation around the corporation. Coupled with a sound background in technology, these natural leaders will form the backbone of corporate America and your corporation. The days of the lone wolf superstar are gone. People work in interdepartmental, multidisciplinary teams. Help your workers learn how to break down the walls that often separate departments. Those individuals with team-based leadership skills will become tomorrow's corporate leaders. 7. Integrated problem solving. The competitive world is vastly complex and interrelated. There will be many concerns and interactions to deal with when making business decisions. Knowing only the technical and economic aspects of a problem will not suffice. One must also be mindful of a problem's social, environmental, political, and institutional ramifications, and be capable of selecting from a multidimensional choice of options. Employees with the ability to think and reason problems on multiple levels simultaneously will be essential to the future complex decision-making processes in industry. Because the world is more interrelated, you will be dealing in world markets rather than just national markets. Competition will be on a global basis. Your decision-making must account for the political, social, institutional, and cultural diversity in world markets. Your employees must be able to ask the tough questions at the outset of their problem solving and develop the most complete answer to the problem. The quality of the problem solved will be dependent on the quality of the questions asked at the outset. These commingled skills are essential for survival in the information age. 8. Learning efficiently. Tomorrow's employees will be in a constant state of learning, continually improving and/or rejuvenating skills to meet new corporate challenges. Such education will require employees who are motivated to learn and enjoy the challenge of new experiences, and most of all, those who are equipped with the lifelong discipline to learn new concepts and techniques efficiently. A highly adaptable workforce will be needed. Many workers will likely have more than one profession in their lifetimes and be retrained or re-educated on the job as conditions and corporate environments require. No longer will a single education suffice for a lifetime as it did in the past. People must be taught to appreciate how rapidly the world is changing and be motivated with a desire to learn new things throughout their careers. These are the 8 basic skills that the information age employee will need to have. In the next section, we will discuss developing employees and setting the stage for the creative spark that you will bring out in each of them. Developing employees. Setting the environment for creativity. No job by itself is creative or comes with a predetermined amount of creativity built into it. Humans performing the job are the creative element. Jobs offer the opportunity for creativity, but the human is the determining factor. Creativity is a delicate thing. All people possess the capacity for creativity, but may lack either the opportunity or the conditions that will promote it. Promoting creativity is the prime directive of supervisors, managers, and, of course, you as their leader. Any job can be creative if promoted properly and enabled by those in charge. Creativity is controllable if one understands what motivates people and focuses those desires to useful ends. True leaders know this strategy by heart, and they make sure they connect potentially creative employees emotionally and viscerally to the company's goals. By and large, most professionals are not motivated by money. True, there may be an initial interest in a job sweetened with a nice salary and fringe benefits, but most humans opt for things more focused on professional growth. No amount of money can make up for a terrible working environment. What truly motivates professional people is the chance to perform work that will give them recognition and personal achievement. It is really quite simple. People want to do things relevant to their skills, contribute to a meaningful team effort, and achieve status as a competent individual. I strongly suspect that the non-professional staff of your organization is likewise motivated, even if they are represented by a union. At best, money might motivate an individual for a few weeks. The chance to achieve recognition has long motivated people to work productively for years on end. The chance to be creative is the link for allowing employees the chance to do something significant while at the same time achieving corporate goals. How does one give employees the chance to be creative? We should examine a few ways. First and foremost, trust is the first step. Yes, that's right. Plain old, simple trust. There must be a bond of trust between employer and employee. If this simple trust does not exist, the rest of this discussion is going to be meaningless. No trust, no relationship. No relationship, no chance for creativity. Trust is more than believing the employee is not going to do something ethically and/or morally wrong. It is the belief that the employee has and can use a wide latitude in accomplishing the tasks undertaken and assigned. It is the elbow room to be a professional and to exercise a degree of decision-making. If the employee is going to be responsible for the result, they should be able to make some of the decisions on the journey to that result. You cannot expect someone to be creative if they feel they are not trusted and must be on their guard to not mess up at every turn. Trust gives an individual breathing room and is often returned with respect for one's supervisor. In a broad view, trust can be seen as a form of recognition. Employees want to be plugged into the important issues and to know their work is relevant to these issues. No one wants to work on issues that are perceived as irrelevant. Bringing employees into the big picture while explaining how their work is relevant to the company is crucial in promoting creativity. It serves to generate the excitement that can get creative juices focused on important problems. This motivation prompts the supervisors and upper management to be aware of the major issues facing the company and to see how their workers are influencing the course of events that will shape the future of their business. Creative people like to communicate with senior management. Doing so allows them access to the organization's decision-making structure, viewing how issues are identified, projects created, and new products implemented. Upward communication is catnip for creative individuals because they feel it is important to have time to spend with leaders to learn about new ideas and concepts. Nothing motivates an individual more than time with an important, recognized person. Creative people often seek out recognized individuals as role models and mentors. Let your senior management know how stimulating it is for them to be accessible to their motivated and creative staff. Invisible managers don't give recognition. Sooner or later, creativity requires resources, and this investment is an important decision for a company to make. Allocating resources is a financial commitment representing corporate faith in someone's ability to proceed from concept to reality. The ability to obtain resources is a form of corporate recognition, providing the means to validate personal ideas and concepts. It sustains the creative spirit. Good managers move creative people in this direction as soon as possible to teach them the process of turning ideas into reality. With allocated resources, creative employees can prove their work, publish papers, and achieve the personal recognition that each and every one of us seeks. Once corporate funds are allocated, the only thing standing in the way of creative employees is the freedom to implement their work. Creative people also enjoy going to conferences, meeting people with other exciting new ideas, and engaging in discussions involving new concepts, options, and opportunities. The chance to discover new techniques and processes excites creative employees, providing the stimulus to see old problems in a new perspective. For the creative person, the excitement is often the chase for a solution. It's the process that enamors them, much like the excitement of the hunt would be to the hunter. The adrenaline flows when the hunt is on. Ask any great inventor what the chase means to them. It drives their whole purpose. Let's not forget some other less visible things that also have significant creative impact. People tend to prefer different physical arrangements for their offices and personal working spaces. It expresses their individuality, something very important to creative people. Give your employees a chance to design and implement their own decorating ideas. An excellent way to promote creativity is through brainstorming techniques involving members of the group focused on a specific issue. Creative folks enjoy this type of freewheeling generation of ideas, which also serves to validate their feelings of being involved with worthwhile projects. Many creative teams meet on a weekly basis to discuss new ideas and challenges that may have been encountered during the past week. In this way, newer team members learn from the more experienced ones. Mutual support is vital for proper team spirit and motivation. Creative people often seek out help from others more skilled than they. This free flow of mutual support is excellent glue for a hardworking team. And the old adage of two heads being better than one is very appropriate. One of my favorite team-building creative techniques, one that produces enormous creative dividends, is the individual presentation. Periodically, a team member gives a brief presentation on their area of expertise. It could be related to the work they're currently engaged in or an overview of something in their field that could impact the team's work. With their peers asking questions and commenting on the presentation, the team practices mutual learning and continuing education, literally bootstrapping itself. Almost always, these sessions end with employees generating copious ideas, often integrating the different disciplines on the team. I have seen team members rejuvenated and invigorated to investigate some new area of interest to the team. It helps to have some refreshments at these meetings and plenty of time to explore new avenues. Akin to the team presentations just discussed, many R&D-based organizations regularly invite speakers to give a timely presentation to their employees. These speakers serve to stimulate creative thinking among the employees while exposing them to new outside concepts and ideas the company may consider using. Dreaming, creativity, management, and leadership. We often forget that today's products and services were yesterday's dreams and crazy ideas. They came from past human imagination and ingenuity. Unfortunately, too often these accomplishments were hard-won through a veil of peer criticism and extreme negativism. Some of our most famous products were laughed at when originally conceived. We're all guilty of knocking something new or different. Thomas Edison saw little value in the radio. But we wouldn't have these marvelous products of modern life if someone had not dared to dream. Make no mistake about it, dreaming is hard work. Your job as a leader in an information age company is to make sure employees can dream up the future's new products. One does not manage or control employee dreams, but rather inspires employees to dream, allows them to challenge the conventional, and fosters a creative environment to focus those dreams for useful and profitable purposes. Dreaming and the quality results that eventually flow from it are as much the job of the leader as the subordinate. It's a two-way street, characterized by an environment of patience, leadership, mentoring, and the credo of continuous improvement, all directed toward the care and nurturing of bright, aspiring employees. Keep in mind that dreamers are risk-takers and expansionists. Clearly, to dream in an effective manner, one needs three ingredients: leaders, good people to lead, and the nurturing environment. The difference between management and leadership is a profound one. Management being power of position given by the corporate powers above, and leadership being a privilege bestowed by those being led. Corporations cannot make leaders. They can acknowledge them, perhaps, but not create them by fiat. People ultimately select or reject their leaders. Ideally, a corporate manager is both manager and leader, knowing how to apply the two roles in specific situations. The important difference between the two roles is that in management, you are given your powers. In leadership, you must earn them. This fact is both the dichotomy and the challenge of being a complete manager, and it makes all the difference in harnessing the power of dreaming. Leaders connect their people to the corporate and outside worlds. Leaders point the way. They instill a mood and style among their people. They teach and challenge their student workers to improve themselves. They merge the talents, aspirations, and goals of their workers with those of the corporation, achieving true and sustained motivation. The world of the leader is an artistic one, as opposed to the scientific methods of management. Many would argue that leaders are born and managers are trained. Perhaps, but we desperately need both, ideally fused into one package, the complete manager. The use of the term student workers in the preceding paragraph is intentional. Teaching is often an underappreciated aspect of leadership. Many of us experienced leadership or came in contact with it as a result of people who exerted a strong influence on us. Our parents, teachers, church elders, coaches, prominent citizens, statesmen, etc. These people taught us values and ethics and instilled discipline as much as they taught us something of interest. It is no different with leadership on the job. The leader often takes up the role of teacher, mentor, coach, and counselor. Hence, the term student workers is entirely appropriate. This nurturing aspect of leadership eventually develops into what psychologists term bonding. It forms the glue that holds departments and corporations together, and it creates the reserve of strength and inspiration in bad times. Leaders inescapably teach the process of leadership through their intellectual and emotional ties with their workers. Are there hard and fast rules about how much time should be allowed for dreaming on the job? That depends upon your corporate culture, the specific industry you're in, and the products and services you supply. The best thing to do is to set an example of dreaming as a state of mind, and don't be afraid to challenge your people. In the final analysis, both you and they will learn from each other, and the company will profit from both. Dare to dream. It's worth it. Intellectual property and invention. Intellectual property is obviously important to any company. It represents a potentially lucrative future path for the company to follow. It is literally ideas and concepts in the gestation stages, protected by a legal shield such as a patent, trademark, copyright, or maybe even a trade secret. Many a rollicking lawsuit has been filed to protect intellectual property rights. People have a tendency to think of inventors, designers, and creators of things as unusual folks, maybe even eccentric. Certainly not the fellow next door or the person two desks down the hall. Actually, inventiveness is quite the human trait. Unfortunately, we too often cure this wonderful tendency in our schools, homes, workplaces, and in the behaviors we practice. We don't applaud and reward the inventive mind as much as we should. Let's face it. We have all witnessed the unusual thinker, the outspoken individual, or the unconventional worker on the job, and may have shared with others our surprised feelings at how these individuals can survive in large organizations. Sometimes their behavior seems terribly grating to us, or perhaps it grates on the culture that was instilled in our workplaces. It's the crux of the problem. To be competitive, we need to be unconventional. But our corporate cultures often breed out the unconventional in many different ways, such as writing off the individuals as crackpots, shelving them in dead-end jobs for having spoken up once too often, taking resources away from them for trying new things and having failed, and sometimes we horribly ostracize these people. To do so is a terrible waste, and it's an open invitation to your competitors to raid your intellectual horsepower. The inventive mind is the one itching to be challenged to its fullest. It thrives on complex problems that appear to be tantalizing puzzles no one else can solve. So why not treat all your employees as inventive and creative people who can rise to the challenges of the workplace? It costs you nothing and raises everybody's spirit. Give them the right signals and incentives and let the rest fall into place. Institutionalize creativity, innovation, and unconventional thinking. For starters, do you have a suggestion program for your people? Have you thought about a partnership with your people, whereby if they invent something of value to the company, you will help them with the time, money, and resources to develop, patent, and maybe even apply it? You can both share in the profits if it becomes successful. Would you consider letting them actually spend some time on the job to work on it? I suggest you start considering such incentives for your people. They are not job perks. They are clear signals that can translate into improved market competitiveness. Tap into the mental horsepower of your people. The chances are strong that you have paid their salaries for years to put that knowledge there. Help them along with the process of applying that knowledge for mutual gain. About the author. Harry T. Roman holds 12 U.S. patents, has received numerous engineering, invention, and teaching awards, and has published more than 550 scientific papers, articles, monographs, and books. In 1999, the New Jersey Technical Education and Engineering Association named him a Distinguished Technology Educator. In 2005, the New Jersey Inventors Hall of Fame honored Roman with an Inventor of the Year Award for his application of mobile robots in hazardous work environments. In 1996, IEEE honored him with a Meritorious Achievement Award for developing continuing education products for IEEE members. Again in 2006, IEEE honored Roman with an Outstanding Engineer Award. Every month, more than 65,000 educators read his feature articles appearing in various national publications. In PSE&G's R&D group, where he worked for 36 years, he directed and consulted on over $100 million worth of projects and programs. Roman also taught graduate-level R&D project management courses at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, NJIT. Throughout his engineering career, Roman worked with schools around the state, bringing the excitement of real-world problem-solving into the classroom. Retired since 2006, he has published more than 70 resource books, math card games, and science kits for teachers, products valued for their head-in-hands approach to teaching creativity, invention, STEM, engineering, and alternate energy topics in the classroom. Roman now spends many hours in the classroom, working with teachers and students in West Orange, Montclair, and Livingston, New Jersey, conducting special student project team challenges. He is an author and advisor to the Edison Innovation Foundation and a docent and special lecturer at the Thomas Edison National Historical Park in West Orange, New Jersey. Roman also admits to writing and publishing poetry and short stories. This has been Developing Your People, Common Sense Leadership in the Workplace, Volume 1, Key Skills Employees Will Need, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lukubaugh.